Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Into the 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your hostess with the mostest, Necrozac, and we are joined by the artifact aficionado Brian, the only man in Canada to bench press a dump truck, Dan, and the most proficient proxyist, the king of combos himself, Bento Box Ben.
Hello.
Don't sound so excited, guys.
Hello, baby. Yeah, it's early morning today. We have our guest Bento is going to take us through one of the decks that he played on stream because everyone seemed to really like it. So without further ado, Bento, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the deck?
All right. So this is Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle. If you're not aware, this is a 4 CMC 2/2 flyer who says whenever you cast a historic spell, return target creature card with CMC 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. And the reason I, you know, have to go through the commander is because this commander is instrumental to every part of this deck, which is one of its downsides, which we'll talk about later. But overall, this is a very combo heavy deck that has a variety of builds. The build that I have is definitely not perfect and could probably still need some more refining, but I'm absolutely in love with it. And it is really, really fun to have like a graveyard recursion, you know, heavy combo deck in mono white, and it works super well. Yeah.
Definitely very interesting to watch go off because you always hear people bashing the mono white deck.
Mono white's good. Oh, yeah. I like mono white. Anything is good when you build it the right way.
Very true.
So, Ben, we got to play 3 of your decks on stream last week, and we got our butts handed to us. So
I still feel bad.
No, it's fine. I'd rather you come on the show and beat us in a very, like, a very over-the-top way than to come on the show and us just all dirtle and not have a good time. I didn't feel bad about any of the losses. Did you feel bad about any of the losses, Brian? So we know that you're pretty good at deck building. I'll give you that for sure. But you want to tell us a little bit more, like what you do in the Magic community and what kind of things you're into as far as Magic.
Yeah. So in the Magic community, I am I started as a proxy artist. I'm now an artist. Now that I'm making art prints of like my landscapes and. People seem to like what I do. I make a lot of, I make decks, I make bad tweets, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm I don't know. I guess it's weird to call yourself a, content creator, because of what that entails, but I guess that would be me. But as for what I like to do in Magic, I'm a very, very, very big fan of combos. I just love combos as long as they're not, I like complicated combos, and that's why I love this deck so much, and I'll talk about that a lot more. I don't know. I'm a degenerate without being too much of a degenerate. I love slivers. I love, turn 3 wins. I love or turn 2 wins. I just really like this game, and I've only been in it for, I forget if we talked about this last time I was on stream, but, 2 years, you know, like less than 2 years. And
So you just started into Magic recently.
Oh yeah. I mean it was not been that long. You know, the way I got into it was I worked at an LGS because I was the board game guy, because that's what, you know, a big passion of mine is board games. And then, you know, one of my coworkers who's now a good friend of mine was like, hey, you know, let me teach you how to play Magic, and of course that was the end of that. And you know, here we go. I've now, you know, just building and building. I'm planning on buying, you know, like 3 boxes of Commander Legends or whatnot. Like it's all gone downhill.
I think that's all of us. Yeah. So for the listeners at home and people who might be watching, you said you make proxies and art prints. What do you like to do, and what do you specialize in? I'm familiar, and the rest of us are, but I want you to plug yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, so, I mean, I literally started as someone who wanted to I think I've talked about this before with y'all, but I only play proxy. I think proxies are great. People can play proxies of whatever they want. I don't care. But for me personally, I only play proxies of cards that I own. Just out of, I like collecting the cards. I don't want to, if I play with a card I don't own, then it's like, well, then where's the incentive to collect it? And I like the collecting aspect a little bit. Obviously, there are exceptions like, you know, Time Twister or, you know, maybe the duels, even though I don't like to play with those. But yeah, I started making proxies just to make cards of that deck share. So for example, when I bought a Mana Crypt, or even when I have like an expensive card like Sliver Queen, I didn't want to play with Sliver Queen. I wanted a proxy of Sliver Queen, or now my, you know, Mox Diamond, I want to share that between some decks. And so that's what that served as. And, or that's how I got started. It got started right as, you know, quarantine started earlier this year. And, they're still going with that. But it's fun. And so like I now also have a Patreon where I make tokens as well. I make a custom token for with different varying designs that people seem to enjoy. Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. yeah. It's weird to talk about yourself.
I get it. I can definitely understand that.
Yeah, I'll drag you until you literally say everything I want you to say, so it's fine. I'll help you along the way.
Thank you.
No problem. That. So now that I've kind of twisted your arm about you being a content creator, because if we're here, we're all content creators. Let's just be straight about that. Anyone doing anything with Magic, if you are passionate about it and you're sharing stuff and you're like creating something, whether it's proxies, deck techs, primers, videos, anything, you're a content creator. You're a part of this community and you should be proud of that. Unless you're a jerk, then, you know.
Then you shouldn't.
Yeah. Having bad takes is one thing, but people not okay. So now that we got all that out of the way, let's go into this Teshard deck. If you watch the stream, I think it was a very good example of how this deck just goes off with, honestly.
Is that did I play turn, or was it turn two Ms. Miracorb, turn one Ms. Miracorb?
I try not to remember, honestly, because it's painful. I was playing my Grenzo deck and I saw Mesmeric Orb and I was like, oh, this is fine. And then,
yeah, I think I won on turn. That was like, I don't think I've ever gone off as fast as I did.
We're talking about the games. Let's probably tell our listeners what this card does.
Yes, that is an excellent idea. So the way this deck wins, the way that you want to, you know, go crazy, is through artifact loops. And now you could build like Teshar sagas or legendaries, I suppose. And although there are some legendary synergies in here, it's all artifacts. With the deck list, I think I have, what is this? Yeah, there are 13 permanents that have a zero CMC, although I guess don't count Hang Your Back and Walking Ballista.
Yeah, they're not real zeros.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Cheerios in this deck, and that is for the sole purpose of being able to get cast triggers off of Teshar. You want to have sacrifice outlets in play. So, like, the bread and butter combo is you have Teshar on the field, you have, like, say, Cathodian to add 3 mana, you have a like Ashnod's Altar or whatever, and then say, let's just say Junk Diver. I think that would work. So you sacrifice Cathodian to Ashnod's. You get 2 mana. You sacrifice the Junk Diver, returning Cathodian to your hand. You cast Cathodian, bring back the Junk Diver, sacrifice both of them again, you're now netting 1 mana each time, and then you just, you know, build up to Walking Ballista, or you can even build up to, I mean, Hang Your Back Walker, I guess. I think Walking Ballista is the one of the main win cons. Another win con is like through milling. If you mill through what's it called? Altar of Dementia. And then also you can win through dealing damage with Perilous Mirror. You can win through just a bunch of different things that you have at your disposal. The main thing, though, is just assembling the loops, and that's where the fun comes. You have artifact repeaters like Junk Diver, Workshop Assistant. What am I forgetting? Forgetting a bunch of them. Trusty Pack Beast.
So we'll go through your list here, but so Tesher, Ancestor's Apostle cost 4. It's 3 and a white. It's a legend.
Did I say 4? Or did I say 3 last time? Yeah, it's...
Yeah, you said 3.
It is 4 CMC. That's very important. My bad.
And I think the main ability that people are that you're looking to abuse here is Tesher has flying, and then whenever you cast a historic spell, so that's, like we mentioned, artifact, legendary enchantments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sagas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sagas as well.
You can return target creature card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Oh, it does mention your artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are stored. And Keshar is a 2/2.
So, 2/2 flyer.
From the deck list here, it shows that we're running 24 artifacts. Okay. 37 creatures and 32 lands. So it looks, I mean, among those three groups of card types, there are still artifacts sprinkled throughout all of these. So we'd already talked, you'd already mentioned it, but we'll go through some of these cards that you're going to use to kind of set up combos. So the first one that I want to bring up, because it's kind of near and dear to my heart, is Altered Dementia. It's a 2-cost artifact. It says sack a creature. Target player puts a number of cards equal to the sacrificed creature's power from the top of their library into their graveyard.
Altered Dementia is so good in this deck. It's so good. Just because of... essentially, you need a sack outlet for a lot of combos. You just need a way to get creatures in the graveyard so you can either get their death trigger or you can bring them back and get their ETB trigger. And so you just, every time you use Altar of Dementia, you just use it and you're pointing it at yourself. And then you're bringing back another creature that hopefully has more power, sacrificing that to Altar of Dementia to get even more mills. And then eventually you'll mill yourself into an artifact repeater. With an artifact repeater, you can get fast mana, like, you know, Mana Crypt or Mox Opal or Mox Amber. And with that, you can then start generating mana, casting more creatures, drawing more cards. If you get like a Sky Scanner, whatnot, Feligree Familiar. And yeah, you just go off from there. Once you assemble a loop and you have Altar of Dementia on the field where you can just cast a card, bring back an artifact to your hand, play the artifact, sack the artifact, play the creature again, et cetera, et cetera, and get a loop of cast triggers or creature triggers, you can then just mill out your opponents without even having to generate mana. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting things like that, like Altar, and then another Altar, another one of my favorite, Ashnod's Altar, 3-cost artifacts, sack a creature, add 2, generic mana to your mana pool. So it just seems like this deck is just, like, you're just going to supercharge through everything. It seems like this is a deck where you can see a lot of your deck very quickly, whether it's in your hand or in grave.
Mm-hmm. And it gets even crazier when you throw things like Glinthawk. And,
sorry to interrupt here. Let's go through the deck list before we start explaining the combos, because most people aren't knowing what we're talking about when we talk Glint Hawk.
Like, totally right.
Yeah, so let's talk all that, and then we'll talk combos right at the end here. Because obviously, like you said, it's a combo heavy deck. We're trying to do a bunch of different loops, and Teshar has so many different things, like you've said already, with the ability to sack and recur. Like white having a graveyard reanimation theme on its own is such a unique mechanic, right? So there's a lot of breakable ways in it.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely right.
I've already mentioned 2 cards that we've brought up. So we'll start right under Ashnod's Altar, go to Chrome Mox. Do you want me to take that, or do you guys want to go over it?
Go right ahead.
Okay, Chrome Mox is a 0-cost artifact with imprint. When Chrome Mox enters the battlefield, you may exile a non-artifact, non-land card from your hand. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color that card has. So I assume you're just wanting to pitch anything white so you can get, you know, white mana off of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But also, you can also just use it as a cast trigger, right? Because you don't have to imprint. You can just, it's just another zero mana artifact, and you can use that to loot more things. That's what there are a lot of.
A lot of them are for the cast trigger of that historic.
Yep.
I didn't even think about it that way. That's very cool.
Oh, yeah. And it gets even better when you throw in Clark Clan Ironworks, which is the, I believe it's 4 mana, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 4 mana artifact, which with the ability sacrifice an artifact, add 2 colorless to your mana pool.
Yeah, it functions as a secondary kind of Ashnod's Altar for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you run into a lot with this deck, which is that you have a creature sack outlet, but if you don't have a way to sack a repeatable artifact, you know, like say, like Chromox, you don't have, it's not going to do you much benefit because you need to continue to cast it. You need to continue to send the artifact to your hand and then get those triggers again. And so Clark Clan Ironworks is great. That's why, you know, I like to fall onto, I hate to jump around the deck list like this, but Cathodian, which is a 3-mana 3/3 that when it dies, you just add 3 colorless, is great because it's an artifact, which means you can cast it to get the trigger. But additionally, you can sack it to any creature sack outlet and still, you know, alongside of an artifact repeater, which is what I call it. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. But yeah, like there's, I'm going to be all over the place because there's just so many things you can do.
So after Chrome's Mox, we have another zero cost artifact, Everflowing Chalice. It has multi-kicker too, which means you can pay an additional 2 any number of times that you cast a spell. It enters the battlefield with a charge counter for each time it was kicked, and you can tap it to add 1 mana of any color. I'm sorry, 1 mana to your mana pool for each charge counter on Everflowing Chalice, which, like you said, you could either play it as intended or just as a cast trigger, which is awesome.
Yep. It is, yeah.
Brian, do you want to take the next card?
Sure. Let me hide that. The next card that we have is Ghoul Caller's Bell, which costs 1 colorless. So Ghoul Caller's Bell, it's an artifact, and you tap it, and each player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So just, again, from what I understand of the deck, just putting more, or attempting just to put more cards into your graveyard for better hope of finding that piece that you need to recur for your win condition or that loot.
Oh, yeah. Although that one is one that I've considered cutting, just because it is...
I was going to say, sorry, yeah, the Ghoul Caller's Bell, I understand why you might think of cutting it, but it also, you have to remember, does function as top deck control for other people. So if I'm trying to instant speed Worldly Tutor or something or that manner to the top of my deck, you have a lot of control of if I have scryed something to the top that I want, you can force it down. Or like I said, if I go to fetch like Protean Hulk, for instance, and I'm trying to combo off, you can just shove that into the graveyard with this. So it functions not only on your own self mill, but it does give you that element of top deck control that is really, really painful to deal with.
Oh, yeah. It was this or what is it called? Codex?
Something yeah, Codex Shredder's another great one.
Codex Shredder, yeah.
For a lot of people, that's the one they would go to, but because you can sack Codex Shredder to get things back, but you already have all the recursion you need built right onto that commander.
Yes, because Codex Shredder is... Oh, I mean, yeah, I should just be running Codex Shredder anyways. I don't know why I have Ghoul Caller's Bell, but...
Oh, still another good card.
Yeah. I think I have both of them. I don't know why I chose Ghoul Caller's Bell anyways.
The next one in this list is Grinding Station. It's an artifact that's 2. It has tap, sack, and artifact, which, as we talked about, is important in this kind of deck. Target player puts the top 3 cards of their library into their graveyard. So another self-milling ability. Whenever an artifact comes into play, you can untap it. So knowing how this deck acts, you're able to really, really like mill people out with this because you're going to get so many untaps with the it's not whenever you cast an artifact, it's whenever it re-enters play. So just whenever you're looping those zero cost things, you're going to untap Grinding Station, throw something back in the grave, and do it again.
Yeah, it is just as good for self-mill as it is, you know, milling other people. There's also the alternate form from, what's it called? from what set is this again? I forget.
Fifth Dawn.
Fifth Dawn. I'm pretty sure the other one came from Fifth Dawn, which is Blasting Station, which could also work in this deck, which is essentially the same exact thing, except you sacrifice a creature, and I think it deals one damage to any target, and then whenever a creature comes into play,
you untap it.
And that would also work great in this deck as a win con. I just like milling a lot better because of the early game utility of it.
Well, and like you said, you're putting so many things that are important to you into the deck. Like, it's kind of nice decks like this. Emery functions really similar, that you're not really disincentivized from playing your deck if someone counterspells you, because it's still available as a resource. If you don't have built-in graveyard hate, which a lot of decks don't, then there's really nothing that people can do to stop this. Like, sure, I can counter your Grinding Station, but you'll bring it back.
Yep. Yep, I will.
And it's all important because it's a 2-drop, which means that Teshar is going to be able to target it and bring it back when, you know, you want to.
Teshar can still only do creatures at least, which is not too bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, creature.
But there are plenty of ways to get artifacts back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very similar to Duretti kind of loops in this, like the mono red planeswalker one, where you're just playing things like you alluded to earlier, like the Junk Diver, and bringing everything back.
Next card
Real quick, I think you skipped Aetherflux.
Oh yeah, we did skip Aetherflux. Aetherflux should go in any deck with an artifact and zero cost casts.
Yes, it should.
So Aetherflux Reservoir, for anyone who might not know for some reason, is a 4-drop artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, you gain 1 life for each spell you've cast this turn. You can pay 50 life, and Aetherflux Reservoir deals 50 damage to target creature or player.
The mega bonk.
Just another case of having, if you have infinite cast triggers, which is very easy to get, Aetherflux is your friend, and you just win the game. Just another win con.
Aetherflux is a very, very cool card. Helm of Awakening, also an amazing card. It is going to hit everyone, but all spells costing 1 generic mana less to play when your whole deck is artifacts really helps you more than everyone else.
That's the 2 CMC artifact. Like you said, makes all spells 1 generic less. I forget who I was playing against. I think it was either MTG Lexicon or Elder Dragon Skyplander, and they were, I think I caused them to win because I had Helm of Awakening out, because I hadn't thought about it just because I cast it and I needed things to be cheaper.
Yeah.
But so it can really bite you in the butt.
In general, though, I think you're gonna out benefit most decks with this.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, that turns all of your, how many one? There's 7 permanents with CMC 1, so that brings it up to, you know, 20.
20 zero cost, yeah.
And then don't count Walking Ballista Hangerback, but so 18, like that's just nuts.
We're going to go through some of these artifacts quicker because I know that these are strong combos that you want to kind of go over a little bit more. So,
I'm itching to talk about it.
I'm going to blaze through a bunch of these quick. We have Ichor Wellspring, which is 2. When it enters or put into a graveyard from the battlefield, draw. So another very powerful card to bring in and sacrifice. We did talk Crack Clan Ironworks. It's such a good card. I think I'm just going to quickly blaze through your extra mana. So you have a Mana Crypt, obviously tap for 2 mana. Mind Stone, tap and sack it for a card draw. You have Mox Amber, Mox Opal, which is Metalcraft. For anyone who doesn't know what that Mox is, it's a very good one in a deck that's running this. You have your normal Soul Ring. So we've gone through some of the quicker ones here. I'll let Brian jump in on Mesmeric Orb here.
So Mesmeric Orb is probably one of my favorite artifacts.
It rocks.
I personally absolutely love mill. So Mesmeric Orb costs 2. It's an artifact. And whenever a permanent becomes untapped, that permanent's controller mills a card. So, yeah, it's just... If you get it out early game, it really can mess up other decks because you're milling key cards so early in the game, and maybe you're milling their lands and then they can't even get back off the ground.
I'll be honest and say that I wish it didn't mill other people. And like in this deck, I would play this card if it only if it just said, you know, when you untap, mill a card. Like it would still be amazing because all it does is draw the ire of the table, and it is like beyond insane for just filling up your graveyards. Like when we played, getting a turn one as Mirak Warbout or turn two, and then just, you know, getting going into your third or fourth turn with, you know, five or six cards in your graveyard is or five or nine cards in your graveyard is great for when you're ready to start to go off with Teshar. However, it really does draw the ire of the table, makes people leave up untapped mana so that they don't mill. It makes people want to destroy your stuff, or just if you're playing a more politics game, just be mad at you and try and kill you faster. So that is the downside that comes with it, but it's still very much worth it.
So the next card on the list is Mishra's Bauble. It's a zero drop artifact. You can tap and sack it. You look at the top card of target player's library and then draw a card at the beginning of the next turn's upkeep.
Yes. So Mishra's Bauble and Urza's Bauble kind of go hand in hand. So do you want to read Urza's Bauble as well?
Yeah, sure. Urza's Bauble is a zero drop artifact. You can sack it to look at a random card in target player's hand, and then you draw a card at the beginning of the next turn's upkeep.
Lots of good cards.
Both of them are just weird and not that good. Amisha's Bauble is obviously a little bit better. But they're both... The only reason they're really good is, one, they're zero CMC, which is great, obviously. Mm-hmm. Get Teshar cast triggers, but also they can sacrifice themselves. And because of that, you can loop them without having to worry about having an artifact sack outlet. You can just play them to get a... creature back that would or an artifact repeating creature, which we'll talk about, sacrifice the Bauble, sacrifice the creature, get the Bauble back, cast the Bauble again. You now have infinite cast triggers.
Well, so, and it's also the most important thing is it draw cards in white.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, drawing is good, but yeah, like getting them in your graveyard is pretty okay, but just using them for cast. It's so strange because there really are so many different paths to take, especially with Mishra's Bauble versus Bauble.
Right. So the next card is Phyrexian Altar. It's a 3-drop artifact. You can sack a creature to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Super good. Skull Clamp is a 1-drop artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +1, -1. And when equipped creature is put into a graveyard, you draw 2 cards with an equip cost of 1.
I have not used much of Skull Clamp in this deck. I think it could be very good with like Ashnod's Altar.
It's a good emergency altar. Draw card for sure.
Just for draw, and it's a 1 mana card, which can be a good cast trigger.
Another really cool card, Smuggler's Copter, 2-drop artifact vehicle. It has flying. Whenever it attacks or blocks, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card, and it accrues for 1, and it's a 3/3. I love Smuggler's Copter. I wasn't playing during Standard, I missed a lot of the vehicle stuff. But when I got back into playing, like I pushed this card in so many decks. It just does so many cool things.
It's extremely strong, and it's just good for early game when you want to get more card advantage, and also for just loading your graveyard up. It also works perfect for that.
So this next card, I absolutely hate seeing it across the table. It's Tormod's Crypt. It's a 0-drop artifact. You can sack it, tap and sack it, I should say, to exile all cards from target player's graveyard.
Yeah, the bane of graveyard theme decks.
Yeah, I put it in here in hopes that it will deter other people from playing it. It in some sort of weird destiny way.
I do the exact same thing in my Moldrotha deck. I have it there. So yep. It's like, I have it out, and I was like, if you target mine, I'll target yours. I was like, how do you want to do this?
It's a really, really good deck, a really good card in general just to run as a sideboard, and it still has that built-in sacrifice to get it off the board and recur if you need. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's a point where I think when we were playing, I think I used Tormod's Crypt to go off, and y'all were like I was just going off, and y'all were like, so our graveyards are exiled, right? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right, they are. Like, because you don't even care about the effect, you just care that it's a 0 mana that sacks itself.
Right. So
next one.
Yeah, the final card for just the artifact section is Welding Jar. It's a 0-drop artifact. You can sack it to regenerate target artifact.
Yeah. So you just need an artifact on the board, and which you will have, and that's just a zero mana sack. Real easy, real nice. Perfect.
It was great. I played it when it first came out, what, Mirrodin, I think it was, and with all the mirrors, it was just really such a good card to get your key pieces back.
It's great. We also skipped over one, which is just a little bit different. Obviously, it's not very budget conscious, but Mox Diamond is worth talking about. So that's just zero mana artifact. As it comes into play, choose and discard a card, otherwise sacrifice Mox Diamond, and you can tap it to add a mana of any color to your mana pool. So this card is, did I say discard a card? You have to discard a land card. I'm sorry. This card is great for one. It's just obscenely powerful. Essentially lets you get a land drop on turn one or turn an extra land drop. But it's really good in this deck because you can use it as a cast trigger and it'll just go straight to the graveyard. If you don't want to discard a land, cause you don't have to, it's a May ability. And right. So you can just get the cast trigger. It will get the Teshar and then it'll just go straight to the graveyard for you. So in cases where you want to use it as ramp, it's great. And you can definitely, definitely use it as utility. Like it is busted. Obviously it's super expensive, but
yeah, for that very reason,
it is so good.
So moving down to the creatures section,
you skipped one last one. It's Welding Jar, which is one of the best in the deck, where you're able to sack it to regenerate target artifacts. So any of your important pieces, you can sack something that doesn't matter as much. Like you can get rid of a Smuggler's Copter to keep your Altar of Dementia out.
I did talk about it, sir.
Did you?
Yeah, and also, yeah, you can't. You can only sacrifice Welding Jar. You can't sacrifice
or sack Welding Jar. Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, Welding Jar is awesome.
Welding Jar is awesome. I didn't hear you talk about it, Zach.
It's okay, Dan. You know, not. I'm a nobody here.
So yeah, jump into the creatures here.
Artbound Ravager, 2-drop artifact creature beast. It's a 0/0. You can sack a creature. Sack an artifact, but a +1/+1 counter on Artbound Ravager. It has modular 1. This enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. When it dies, you may put its +1/+1 counters on target artifact or creature.
Card was so good back at Standard.
In this deck, it is pretty okay. It is equivalent to, Thermal Navigator, which is a 3-mana artifact creature. It's a 2/2 that says sacrifice an artifact, it gains flying. These are just artifact sack outlets. That's what they serve as. That's what they're there for. They are not the best sack outlet for artifacts. They're there because we need it. And they also serve as cast triggers, which are always good.
Very true. Does anyone want to take the next one?
Good old Stax piece, Avon Mind Sensor, 2 and a white. Has flash and flying for a 2/1. If an opponent would search their library, they search the top 4 cards of their library instead.
Yep. This card is great. I wanted to put more Stax pieces in here. I wanted to put Dranith Magistrate. Not for like just being a jerk, but it is really good to slow people down. Like with Avon, it's great. We're also gonna, we'll just skip to it for now. Aethersworn Canonist is also great as a 2-mana or a white and a colorless artifact creature. Each player who has cast a non-artifact spell this turn can't cast an additional non-artifact spell, and it's a 2/2. And both of these are amazing because if they die, you just bring them back with Teshar, no problem.
Very recurable.
Because they're 3 CMC or less. Like, it is nuts. Same with, like, Dranith Magistrate, same with I don't have in this deck, but is a white and a colorless creature. Your opponents can't cast spells from anywhere other than their hands, which is just a Stax piece for commander.
Yep.
Everyone hates this card when I play it in my Trin Silvar deck, but it's just another human for me to.
Yeah, it's great.
So we've already talked about Cathodian quite a bit. The next card is Fiend Hunter, 1 white-white for a human cleric. It's a 1/3. When it ETBs, you may exile another target creature, and then when it leaves the battlefield, you return exiled card to its to the battlefield under its owner's control. Just some good removal.
Well, it's more than that, my friend. It goes hand in hand with Leonin Relic Order, which is a white-white. When Leonin Relic Order enters the battlefield, you may exile target artifact or enchantment, and then when it leaves, you return it. It's a 2/2. Same with Mangara of Korindor, who is a white-white and a colorless legendary creature. You can tap it to exile Mangara of Kondor and Korindor and target permanent. Both of these cards are amazing because all of these cards are amazing because they can be repeated with Teshar, but also you're already going to have sac outlets on the field. So essentially you cast the card, you get the trigger on the stack to exile something, and you sac them in response. So with Leon and Relic Warder and Fiend Hunter, they get to leave the battlefield trigger first, and then you permanently exile their card. With Mangara of Korindor, trigger is tap. Part of the cost is not exiling Mangara. You don't exile as part of the cost. So you can tap in response to the ability, sacrifice them, and you will not exile them. And then you can just bring them back to use the ability later. It is great. It is a great piece of utility since you're already running sac outlets.
Yeah, that's super silly. I didn't even think about how those would resolve. That's that's really ridiculous.
It's great.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah, you so good.
Stack and then that card's gone. Those cards technically don't come back.
Yep, and then you also get the benefit from Mangara of a cast trigger, which is great because it's a legendary creature, and you'll also get the benefit of whatever sac outlet you're using, so you can use them to mill yourself with Altar of Dementia or get some mana. Like, it's great. It is. Yeah, they're cool. All great.
The next card is Filigree Familiar. It's a 3-drop artifact creature fox. It's a 2/2. When it ETBs, you gain 2 life, and then when it dies, you draw a card.
Yep. It's one of the many great 10-cent cards in this deck where it has a good ETB, good leave the battlefield. Cool, because you can just recur it.
Cutest fox ever.
It is great. Yeah.
Another good mana reducer for your spells is Foundry Inspector, a 3-drop artifact creature construct. It's a 3/2. Artifact spells you cast cost 1 generic less to cast, which, like you've talked about, you already have so many 0-drops and so many 1-drops. This just turns all your 1-drops into 0, and then you're suddenly up to like 18 or, what'd you say, 20 0-drops in this deck?
Yeah, with the reducer. Yeah.
Well, even if he has Helm of the Awakening out, everything's reduced by 2.
Oh, yeah, if you have both, then it's even lower.
Yeah, they just continue to compound on top of each other, and it becomes frustrating and gross for anyone who's playing against you.
That's the game even goes that long. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, if the game goes that long, something's gone wrong.
We've only got to turn. We only played till turn 4, and I had a really strong board state. Do you want to take the next one, Brian?
Sure. So the next one is Glinthawk. It costs 1 white. It's a creature bird flying, and when Glinthawk enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless you return an artifact you control to its owner's hand.
Yeah, Glinthawk is amazing. Glinthawk is just the nuts. Same with Core Skyfisher, and I think we'll talk about them more when we talk about combos, but just, you know, being able to return like a Mox Opal to your hand to just generate mana, because you can just immediately tap it then. And you'll also get another cast trigger off of Teshar again. So if you just have a sac outlet on the field, you know, cast Mox Opal or essentially you'll need have Mox Opal on the field, somehow bring back the Glinthawk, you know, return the Mox Opal, sacrifice the Glinthawk, cast the Mox Opal, bring back the Glinthawk. You'll need to bounce 2 artifacts, but they're still, still nutty.
I just love seeing Brian shaking his head.
So nasty. So nasty.
The next one is Hollowed Spirit Keeper. It's 1 white-white for a creature avatar. It's a 3/2 with vigilance. When Hollowed Spirit Keeper dies, put X11 white spirit creature tokens with flying on the battlefield, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, that's a pretty good card for, you know, like someone who's loading up their graveyard. You'll get a bunch of spirits. That's really cool. But it gets crazier when you think about, hey, I have Ashnod's altar. I have Phyrexian altar. This represents, it could literally represent, you know, if you mill, you know, 15 creatures, could represent upwards of 32 mana with 16 creatures in the bin. Well, like,
what, you're running 32 creatures in the stack?
So 37. Yeah.
So you can have a lot of creatures in there, bring this out, get that, have all that extra mana. You have both of the altars in here. Like, it's just like me and my snake deck, that once you have those tokens, you can pretty much just make... Well, plus you can recur this guy, 3 CMC or less. Like, foolish.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's good. Same with this next one.
Go ahead and take it.
Oh, it's just a Hangerback Walker. It is a XX. That is the mana cost. Artifact creature construct. When it enters the battlefield, it enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters. When it dies, you put a 1/1 colorless Thopter creature token with flying onto the battlefield for each +1/+1 counter on Hangerback Walker. And you can pay one and tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on Hangerback Walker. So this one is interesting. I honestly have it in here because I have the Mecha Godzilla alternate art and I wanted to put it in the deck. It works pretty okay. There could be better creatures in here. But essentially, you know, you put 2 mana in it, you will get, with Ashnod's Altar on the field, you spend 2 mana, you'll get essentially 4 mana back, because you'll sack it to Ashnod's Altar for 2, and then you'll sack the Thopter for 2. You can then, if you can repeat it, you can pour that 4 mana back into it, and you'll get 6 mana, and then you'll get 8 mana, and then you'll get 10 mana. So it is a way to generate mana, albeit a little bit more convoluted.
Still good though.
That is great art, I do have to say.
Yeah, it is good. Very cool.
I mean, I had it. I was like, well, I want to put this in the deck because it's shiny. So
everybody loves shiny stuff.
Oh yeah.
So this next card is one of my favorite in the deck. It's Junk Diver. It's a 3 cost artifact creature bird. It's a 1/1 with flying. And when Junk Diver dies, return another target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand.
So this is one of the what I call artifact repeaters, and it's really good. We'll talk about Mirror Retriever as well, which is a 2 mana artifact creature mirror. When it dies, return another target artifact creature card. Artifact card from your graveyard to your hand, and it's a 1/1. Both of these are great because they are artifacts, and so you can use them as cast triggers, and they return other artifacts, which can get more cast triggers, or you can just start doing loops. Junk Diver's great.
Pure exile deck. Or whenever you pull this out.
Oh, it would just absolutely ruin. There's no backup plan. And we'll talk about that when we talk about downsides.
Like, just play Kotaki against this deck.
Yeah, that's right.
What does Kotaki do? I've never heard of this card.
Is that the War's Wage?
Yeah.
Brian, yeah. This it would ruin it.
You know what what's the Tabernacle does?
Tabernacle.
It Tabernacles artifacts.
Gross.
Yeah,
it's rough.
Although sacrificing artifacts wouldn't be that bad. Some artifacts.
So we've already talked about Skyfisher, Relic Warder, Mangara. So let's go to Mentor of the Meek. Mentor of the Meek is a 3-drop, 2 and a white creature, human soldier, 2/2. Whenever another creature with power 2 or less enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1. If you do, draw a card. I can see that being very good in this deck for sure.
It's pretty okay. There are some setups you can use if you have infinite mana and infinite cast triggers to just draw your whole deck, which is cool. But it's also just a good draw engine, which you always need. About,
you bring that guy in, you make 15 creature spirit tokens. I can sacrifice them, get the mana for it, pay that off, draw another 15 cards.
That would do it. You could definitely do it with that. That would be pretty good.
Why not? Next one's Militia Bugler, 2 and a white for a creature human soldier, vigilance 2/3. When Militia Bugler enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature card with power 2 or less from among them and put it into your hand. Then you put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
This one is, you'd think like this one is like amazing in this deck, and it is great for repeating, but it is a little slow. Like, if you want to cast this twice or get its ETB twice or 3 times even, you know, it'd eat up a turn and it could prepare you for next turn. It's a good card in this deck because you can repeat the ETB, but It's just okay. I've played with it a couple times and it's been okay, but it hasn't been like extraordinary.
That's
it's on the chopping block.
That's fair.
There's not a few cards that are there.
Yeah.
So the next one's Milliken. Is that right? Milliken?
Milliken.
Milliken.
Yeah. Two drop artifact creature, construct 0/1. Tap, put the top card of your library in your graveyard, add a generic mana to your mana pool. I could see that being super, super useful in this deck.
I would give any amount of money for a version of this card that was not an artifact creature. I would be over the moon if this was not an artifact creature, just because of if this had the ability to tap the turn it came in, this would be nuts for how you could repeat it and mill yourself.
Oh yeah.
But it's still a great card. It's still a just good mana rock or mana dork, and it mills you, which is great. Like, it's still a good card.
Yeah, it does exactly what you need in the deck.
Yep.
All right, does someone want to take the next card?
Mother of Runes, just a straight out good protection card. Target creature you control gains protection from the color of your choice till the end of the turn. A 1/1 cleric for one. Simple and a very strong protection card. And I'm sure you're going to go over it when you're talking about your combos. Teshar is kind of important to keep alive.
Oh, yeah.
I hate this mother.
Mother is so good.
Old mom.
The next one on the list, Mirror Moon Vessel, another one that you want to throw into your graveyard. When it's put into a graveyard from play, add one to your mana pool, 1/1 for one. Again, another great early drop. And if you can get something like Phyrexian or Ashnod's Altar out, then the ability to just constantly recur with more and more mana is really going to add up really fast.
Yeah, it's just baby Cathodian. Works totally fine, but it is just, you know, baby Cathodian. Because it's one mana, adds one, instead of three mana, adds three. But it's still a great card.
Mm-hmm. It buys back itself, basically. At the very least, in this deck. Next one's Mirror Retriever. Two drop artifact creature Mirror. It's a 1/1. When Mirror Retriever dies, return another target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand.
I love that card.
Yep. Yeah, it's so good. Just like Junk Diver. Super good card. Super cheap. And works great, you know, for artifact loops.
I do like the huge variance of budget in cards. It's like $480 card, 25 cents.
Yeah, that's what I mean by, like, this can be made very cheap. I mean, even, like, if you just take out the Mox Diamond, this deck comes out to, like...
Mox Diamond and Mana Crypt are going to cut down, like, your price pretty much entirely.
If you took out Mox Diamond and Mana Crypt, this would go to, like, $200 for this deck. Like, the most expensive cards are, like, Mox Opal, Mox Amber, which are not necessary, but they're super, super good to have and really cleans things up. Also, like, Recruiter of the Guard, definitely not necessary, although it's good.
I like the Upranger in there. We'll talk about that when we get to it, but that's another.
Oh, I could spend hours talking about Ranger.
Love it.
Yeah, Ranger is sick. It's like one of those things like we always talk about, like fast mana makes the deck, I think, more competitive, especially with what you're trying to do here. It doesn't necessarily make the deck like weaker by taking them out. It just doesn't make it as efficient, which isn't necessarily a bad thing depending on the play level and your group.
I mean, most of the time you don't even need them. Like, it's still totally good and legitimate deck, like totally fine.
Speaking of totally good and legitimate, Ornithopter is a zero drop artifact creature Thopter flying, and it's a 0/2.
Yes. zero mana artifact does wins games.
It does.
I love Ornithopter.
Ornithopter's great.
Connor for a long time used to play just Ornithopter and Swords, and it was just so annoying.
That's sweet.
Swordithopter.
Sort of after that rocks.
God, I could.
But yeah, it's just there. I could replace it easily with what is it? Phyrexian Walker, which is just a 0/0/3 creature, or Claws of Gix, which is a 0 mana artifact. Doesn't matter what the effect is. Actually, Claws of Gix probably should be in this deck, but whatever. It's fine. But yeah, just 0 mana cards are good.
So the next card is Peerless Mirror. It's a 2-drop artifact creature Mirror 1/1. When it dies, it deals 2 damage to any target. Could see that being super useful.
Yep.
I could just see it being like returned in like a cannon. Just
well, yeah, because I mean, when we talk about combos, you'll see that a lot of it is just loops, and oftentimes you can get into a loop scenario without a payoff, where you can easily do infinite casts or infinite loops. Which is why like Aetherflux is great, because you can just get infinite cast off of that, which is cool. But Perilous Mirror, if Perilous Mirror is thrown in the mix, that is just damage to everybody. Yep. Super easy.
Well, and it's also nice that it's to any target. So it is removal and it's also player removal.
Yeah. Well, it is creature or player, to be fair. But yeah, pretty much it just can't hit planeswalkers.
No, it can. It's any target.
Yeah, any target.
Oh, did they errata it?
Yeah, anything that was creature or player is errated to any target now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like cool. That's like a universal errata. It's awesome.
You learned something new today.
I did learn something new today.
Yeah, I think the card art I'm looking at is from Jumpstart.
And I was looking at the Masters 25 print. Yeah, yeah, it is any target.
So does someone want to take the next card? Because I know there are two of you super excited about it.
I'll let him take it, but I just got to say, I want this playmat so badly. They need to make a playmat of it.
Oh, of Ranger Captain.
Oh, it's such good artwork. I love it.
So Ranger Captain of Eos is a white and a colorless creature human soldier that when it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a creature card with CMC 1 or less. Reveal it, put it in your hand, shuffle your library. Then you can sacrifice Ranger Captain of Eos. Your opponents can't cast non-creature spells this turn. This card is nuts. This card is just the bread and butter. You cast this card, it enters, you get Walking Ballista, you sacrifice it. Now they can't counter your Walking Ballista. You cast Walking Ballista, win the game. It's so easy. And it can be made even better with this deck because Teshar can bring it back. So you could quite literally, you know, every turn on your turn, people cannot be casting non-creature spells at you. Like
abilities that stop that.
It's great. This is like honestly one of the best cards in white. It is so good, and the fact that it's 3 mana is great, and it's also great because it's a 3 mana 3/3, because there are a few creatures in here that have 3 power, and that doesn't seem super relevant, but with Altar of Dementia, that's great for that extra point of power will help mill yourself more, which is sometimes, you know, between life and death.
Your boy's riding a lion with a hawk. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
How the hawk and the lion get along.
I love that card. It is such a good card. Like, it having built-in sacrifice, like you said, is just awesome in a deck like this. And just its tutor ability. Oof. Can't get over how much I love that card.
It honestly surprises me. It's as cheap as it is.
Yeah. It's...
So the next card is Recruiter of the Guard, 2 and a white for a creature human soldier 1/1. When Recruiter of the Guard enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a creature card with toughness 2 or less, reveal it, put it in your hand, and shuffle your library. More good tutoring.
It's good. I did not realize when I was building this deck, I did not realize how expensive Recruiter of the Guard is. It should not be $12, but it is a really, really good card. I guess it makes sense for probably what modern humans. It's probably why it's so expensive.
It's just a smaller print run. It's all the conspiracy themed stuff.
Oh, it's only printed in conspiracy?
Yeah.
Until Mystery Boosters,
They reprint it recently?
They did. Mystery Boosters. Before then it was like $40. It was US. It was very, very expensive.
Yeah.
It is a great card.
So the next card is Salvager of Ruin, 3-drop artifact creature construct 2/1. You can sack Salvager of Ruin. Choose target permanent card in your graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn. Return it to your hand.
This card is nuts. So, like, I put this card in the deck, and I was like, oh, it's pretty okay. That was the understatement of the century. This is quite literally one of the best cards in the entire deck, just for everything it can do on its own. It can sacrifice itself, and it can just, like, with Urza's Bauble, and this on the field, you can sacrifice Urza's Bauble. You can sacrifice Salvager of Ruin to bring Urza's Bauble back to your hand, cast Urza's Bauble, bring back Salvager of Ruin. You now have infinite cast triggers with 2 cards. It is so nuts. Oh, 3 cards if you include Teshar. It is great. And it gets even nuttier when you have, you know, like Clark Clan Ironworks to sack whatever you bring back to your hand. It is great, and it is like literally like 10 cents. It's so
very good. It's great. So if you see Mirror Retriever, you often see this guy with it. It's Scrap Trawler. It's a 3 cost artifact creature construct, 3/2. With Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with lesser CMC.
Yep. Scrap Trawler hurts my head because when I was writing the primer, I got to the point where I had to start talking about Scrap Trawler, and I was like, oh my god. Because there's so many different things you can do with Scrap Trawler in terms of just having artifacts. Artifacts are always going to be going to your graveyard. He can just sit on the battlefield and it'll just do things. Like, it is, it's great. It's great.
Disgusting. It's going to be like the world, War of the Worlds, kind of like the walkers in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So the next card,
yeah.
What we got? Oh yeah, is a Selfless Savior. It's a new card out of M21. It is a white creature dog. Sacrifice Selfless Savior. Another target creature you control gains indestructible until end of turn. Just like Mother of Ruins, is just here for repeatable protection for Teshar, which I is. Love.
The dog art, like, they look all so goofy.
Oh, it's great. Yeah,
that's actually why the card's here. Let's not fool ourselves. It just has to hurt any card in this, you know, any card in this whole deck.
Oh, yeah.
Another one of Ben's favorite cards that I used very well in a game we played recently is Selfless Spirit.
Oh, one yes.
One to white for a creature spirit cleric. 2/1 flying. Sack Selfless Spirit, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn.
Yeah, it is just oppressive because just like Mother of Ruins, just like Selfless Savior, you essentially have to save up 2 pieces of removal to get through to Teshar. And even then, you can get Selfless Spirit or Selfless Savior or Mother of Ruins back. Like,
it's very, very easily.
It's great.
Next card is Shimmer Mirror, 3 cost artifact creature mirror with flash to 2/2. You may cast artifact spells as though they had flash. This card is so bonkers. It's ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, one of the main problems.
Okay, let's just see what you got to do.
You could win at instant speed with it pretty easily. The problem is that I rarely have enough mana to get Shimmer Mirror out and start doing a loop, but it is definitely possible and definitely good.
I was gonna say, it definitely seems doable for sure.
Oh yeah.
You can take this next card. You used it quite a bit when we last played.
Yeah. So Sky Scanner, real quick, is a 3 mana artifact creature Thopter. It has flying. It's a 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. It is a, as Moxfield tells me, a 4-cent card. But it just enters the battlefield, draw a card, sacrifice it, bring it back, you draw a card. You can use it to draw your whole deck. Nice and easy.
Yeah, it's super, super good. We already talked about Thermal Navigator. Treasure Hunter is a 2 and a white for a creature human 2/2. When Treasure Hunter comes into play, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand.
It is also essentially the same exact thing as the next card, Trusty Pack Beast, which is a 2 and a white when it enters battlefield. Return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand, except it's a 2/3. Talk about a power creep. And yeah, they're just artifact loopers. They're great. They loop the artifact and you win with them. Super sweet.
I love this card. Baby Revel Arc, Vespal Arc. It's a 2 and a white for a creature elemental, 2/1 with flying. When Vespal Arc leaves the battlefield, return target creature card with power 1 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and it can invoke for a 1 and a white.
So I have not had a lot of time to play with Vesper Lark just because of I just haven't really drawn it yet, but there's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah.
And with, like, you know, Mirror Retriever or even Mirror Moon Vessel can get you mana. But there's definitely some things you can do with it.
It's very cool. So we've already talked about Walking Ballista. I believe Wall of Omens is 1 and a white for a creature wall, 0/4 defender. When it ETBs, you draw a card. Simple yep. and sweet.
Just like Skyscanner.
Simple white things.
Yeah. And the final creature in our list here is Workshop Assistant. It's a 3-drop artifact creature construct, 1/2. When it dies, return another target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. So yeah. Much recursion. I love it.
It is just a Junk Diver without flying and one more toughness. It's just a recursion piece. Works great.
So I'll quickly touch up on these last couple cards so we can really get into a lot of your combos and primers. Fanatical Devotions, two and a white for an enchantment. You can sack a creature, regenerate target creature. Smothering Tithe.
It's the best card to cosplay a parrot as. Do you pay the two? Do you pay the two? Do you pay the two?
Ugh. It is not necessary in this deck to anyone who wants to build a cheaper.
It's not necessary in any deck, but it is probably one of the best white cards they've ever printed. It's not even good. Good does not describe the Smothering Tithes. It is too good.
Yeah, it is.
For anyone who might not know, it's 3 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent draws a card, that player may pay 2. If that player doesn't, you create a colorless treasure artifact token with sack. Sack this artifact, add 1 mana to any color to your mana pool. It's dumb and frustrating. Dispatch is 1 white for an instant. Tap target creature. Metalcraft, if you control 3 or more artifacts, exile that creature.
Very so good card.
I should say that, like, it's funny that I'm running Dispatch, but I don't have Swords of Plowshares or Path to Exile. Those are supposed to be in here. I just forgot to add them.
I think I like Dispatch more, honestly. And it's cheaper, and the art is very, very cool.
It's true.
Generous Gift, 2 and a white for an instant. Destroy target permanent. Its controller creates a 3/3 green elephant creature token. For, you know...
Card makes a green permanent?
It happens.
Oh, it is green. I never even realized that.
Yeah, that's makes so the strange. Elephant. The Belafonte.
Horizons, come on. Yeah, call back to Beast Within.
Yeah.
Savine's Reclamation is a really, really good one that's on your list, too. Basically just functions as a Sun Titan effect. Return target permanent with CMC 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. If you cast it from your graveyard, you get a double up, and it has flashback.
Yeah, the flashback is super relevant here, because if you mill it, you then essentially get to return 2 things from your graveyard for 5 mana.
Yeah, and that mana it's cost is not hard card. For you to hit at all.
No, it's a good card.
Then finally, for all of our spells, we have Wrath of God, 2 white sorcery, destroy all creatures.
Can be regenerated. Honestly, I could probably cut Wrath of God. It's just good to have in here in case I run against like a very staxy game or something, but definitely not necessary IMO.
So I have to say, like, I'm taking a look at the like the mana curve for this deck, and the average CMC is 2.03.
Like, and that's without lands. With lands, it's 1.35. Yeah, it's a small deck.
Ridiculous.
It's so great.
As I say, it seems very, very quick.
I mean, the most expensive is 4, and there's a total of 5 cards in the deck that have CMC 4. Like,
so,
very low to the ground.
So that's the overview of the deck. And what's really cool is on Moxfield, you actually have this primer that explains your deck and what it's supposed to do and how it's supposed to do it. What are some of your favorite combos specifically for this deck? Like, what's something that you like outside of obviously winning, but like, what's something that, man, if I could do this game, this is what I'd like to do over, you know, this combo or what have you?
Oh man, that, like, where to begin? It is, so I said this before, but the reason I like the deck the most is because I don't think you could write down all of the combos that are in this deck. I mean, you could, it would just take a long time there's probably hundreds of combos in this deck. And so it requires a ton of thinking on the fly. So for example, like if you want to just draw your whole deck, you know, have Thermal Navigator or some other artifact, or Sack Outlet, Sky Scanner, Junk Diver, Ornithopter, Everflowing Chalice. Cool. You have the Sky Scanner on the field. You sacrifice it to Thermal Navigator, cast the Junk Diver, sacrifice it, or return the Sky Scanner, sack both, return Ornithopter to your hand, cast the Ornithopter, bring back the Junk Diver, et cetera, et cetera. Go, just go crazy. You can use Grinding Station I think is really, really cool to just bring things in and sacrifice them. Altar of Dementia is great for just milling people out. Same with Ghoul Caller's Bell. If you can recur Ghoul Caller's Bell, you can just tap it every time to mill everyone out. Although that will mill yourself out.
Is there a favorite combo that you have in this deck?
I think the like bread and butter is you get Cathodian. You get Cathodian, you get an artifact repeater, so like Trusty Pack Beast, Mirror, Retriever, Junk Diver, Salvager of Ruins, Scrap Trawler, Treasure Hunter, Workshop Assistant. Actually, Scrap Trawler would not work for this. You get like Urza's Bauble, and you get a 3 or less CMC artifact creature. You can cast, have Cathodian on the field or whatever. Or and with Ashnod's Altar, of course. And all of these combos require Teshar, I should say. I always speak as if Teshar is on the field, because you cannot do this without Teshar, which is why protection is so important.
To keep like your deck where you want to keep you not doing what you need to do is just to keep Teshar and your protection pieces off the field.
Yeah, you either have protection on the field to have Teshar, or you just, the turn you cast Teshar, you win the game. Like, you have two choices.
there's no in between.
Yeah. And so with that, what I described, you would have Cathodian on the field, Teshar, you can cast and have an artifact repeater, sacrifice Cathodian to Astronaut's Altar, get 5 CMC, return Cathodian to your hand, then cast the 3 or less CMC artifact. This will return the artifact repeater, sack the artifact that can sack itself, cast Cathodian, return the artifact repeater, sacrifice both of them to the Ashnod's Altar. It's kind of hard to explain over video, but it works beautifully. You just use them to loop each other, and then with Cathodian and obviously Ashnod's Altar, you are making a ton of mana every iteration. And
well, the cool thing is too is like, because we played this game, we played with this deck previously, I'm fairly positive this is a combo that you end up being able to enable. So if our listeners haven't had a chance to watch our recent video, it should be up already, that where we played, well, really you played us, because I sat back and enjoyed the show. But you do a really good job of explaining what you're doing and how you're doing it. And visually, you're able to watch and see. The combos are, I don't mean to sound like disrespectful, they don't seem very intricate, but there's so much going on. That's
you,
the thing.
Yeah, you just have to think like 10 steps ahead, because it's so, and without sounding cliche, like you just have to make sure that you have the mana you think you have, you have the artifact you think you have, because it's so easy to mess these combos up. If you don't have enough mana, if you miscounted on like what you're netting, gosh, there's so much you can do. I think that like Glint, Hawk, and Core Skyfisher are really cool, because you can, with like Ashnod's Altar on the field, you know, you have Glint Hawk, which will return an artifact to your hand, sacrifice Glint Hawk to the Ashnod's Altar, play it, cast an artifact, bring the Glint Hawk back, return a different artifact, sacrifice the Glint Hawk, play that artifact. So if you have 2 0 cost artifacts, you can just generate infinite mana that way. Actually, they don't even have to be zero cost. They could be 1 cost and you'd be fine. Like this, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you do a really good job. Like, we'll make sure to link your Mox Field deck list with your primer in the video description. You do a very, very good job of, like, I'm just going through and looking at everything, explaining and breaking everything down. It's all worded very well, and it all makes a lot of sense, like being able to sit here and read what you're explaining, and like how you just kind of talk about like artifact repeaters and explain what they are, and same thing for your sack outlets, so that, you know, with so many of these cards, like we talked about on stream, being you know, like interchangeable, you know, Trusty Pack Beast could be Mirror Retriever or Junk Diver, what have you. Same thing for like your infinite mana section, where you're talking about like how you're able to pull these cards together. You do a really, really good job of explaining all of that in your primer. So My question for you, let's say like I was going to go out and build this deck right now, but I didn't have the money for like a mana crypt or like the moxes. Like what would be some good budget options to replace those with?
Yeah, so I have on the mox field, although it's not great, it's not as good as it should be. I do have some what Moxfield calls the considering board, which have some good things to put in there. Like a good, it's kind of top end, but Ugin the Ineffable is really nice because it causes your colorless spells to cost two less. And then you can use that to go crazy. There's, you can do some, if you have snow covered lands, which I don't have, I should get snow covered lands because Arkham's Astrolabe in this deck is
kind of the nuts.
Just to draw your whole deck really easily. Like it's just a better Mycosynth, what's it called?
Mycosynth.
No, I'm sorry. Ichor Wellspring. Mycosynth Wellspring is on the considering board as well, which is essentially the same thing as Ichor Wellspring, except it lets you find a Plains. I didn't put it in the deck because you don't really need to ramp in this deck, but it's cool. You definitely don't need like Mox Diamond, Mana Crypt. Those can go. I just have them in the deck because I own those cards and I want to use them. I have cool proxies for them, and so I use them. But they are definitely not necessary. Frankly, like the all they serve as is you can, on average, you know, accelerate your turn from winning on turn four or five to turn three or four or even turn two, which is still not super necessary. Although Mana Crypt is actually, they're both really nice because they're zero and they can just get you a cast trigger. So if you want something that gets you a cast trigger that doesn't need to give you mana, Memnite is fine. Claws of Gix is cool. Even Paradise Mantle. Paradise Mantle is one that I was considering putting in just because it, if you don't know, it's a zero mana artifact equipment. An equipped creature has tapped to add one mana of any color to your mana pool, and it has equipped one. So it is a zero mana artifact that can also sort of use you to ramp. You're running plenty of creatures, so Paradise Mantle is a great pick. If you want a fun little meme, Open the Vaults is really good. Which is just a white and four colorless. It's a sorcery, return all artifact and enchantment cards from all graveyards to the battlefield under their owner's control. Like, so if you just mill yourself successfully, just return all your artifacts. It's six mana, so but
yeah, I run that card in my
It's great. Mesmeric Orb is, wow, Mesmeric Orb is only $5 now. Definitely pick that up right now.
I was so upset when it dropped because I bought them for when they were $50.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I got the reprint, right? So.
Yeah, I think I got the, yeah.
Double Masters?
Yeah, I think I got the Double Masters version. Oh no, actually, I think I got the Mirrodin version.
So I have a question. This might be kind of silly. Does Teshar trigger off of, there's like it entering the battlefield?
No, because it's a cast trigger, not
okay. DD. So it has to see. Gotcha.
That would be nice. I forget because I think the only other legendary I'm running is Mangara. Is there? Do I have another legendary? Because you could definitely do like, you know.
It doesn't have to be artifacts. Like if there are cheaper, The nice thing about artifacts is if you have the Astronaut's Altar, then you have all the mana you need from sacrificing your creatures. But you could also do cheap legendary white creatures to be able to fill the slots for the more expensive cards.
Is that, what is the 2-2 dog? Is that a, the one mana 2-2 dog? Is that a legendary? Am I tripping?
Yeah, it's a legendary, yes.
It is? Okay. Yep. Like, you could throw that in there just for a cast trigger. You could throw, I mean, any sorts of cheap... is there a zero mana legendary? Have they done that yet? Probably not, right? Not, that... Well, I mean, a creature.
I don't think
probably so. Probably not. But if not, we'll get it in Commander Legends. So if you're listening to this podcast, you know, 2 months from now, enjoy it. How is the set? Did I get more toys for it? I hope I did.
We've only seen, what, a few cards?
Yeah. Spoiler season starting up pretty soon here.
Today. It's the 26th.
Yeah, it starts today before our birthday, Brian.
Yeah, I saw that.
Brian and I have the same birthday.
Oh, that's very cool. Oh, I guess technically, Westvale Abbey is a zero mana creature, legendary creature, technically. Oh, well. As for other good includes, if you want to splurge more, I meant to put Ancient Tomb in the deck. I don't know why I didn't, but Ancient Tomb should be in the deck. Land Tax is always good in white. I mean, it's just a good card. Although, like, you don't really need it that much just because you don't need to ramp. Like I said, your most expensive card is 4 mana. obviously, being able to have extra mana so you can get the loops, like, good.
If they run more white cards than artifacts, you'd most likely want to ensure that you're having that mana so that you can do these infinite combos.
Yeah.
Because everything's not colorless. It's going to cost an actual form of mana.
This is true. Well, there is the Phyrexian Altar, which can be fun. Phyrexian Altar is also one you can take out, though. I added that just because I needed to buy a Phyrexian Altar anyway, because it's a great card. Yeah, but definitely not necessary. Just having sac outlets is good.
Preaching of the Choir, sister.
Grand Abolisher is a really, really good pick. I just need to buy one. It's like $20 now. Ugh. But it's super good. Knight of the White Orchid is a cheap one. That is another good. That's a white creature human knight with first strike 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more lands than you, you can may search your library for a plains and put it on the battlefield. Yeah. That is good because you can repeat it with Teshar. So if you want to ramp for some reason, you know, Knight of the White Orchid is a good pick. I just didn't really care that much. A new card, which I'm thinking about putting in, is Farsight Adept. It is a white and 2 colorless. It's a creature core wizard. And it's a 3/3. Whenever it enters the battlefield, you and target opponent each draw a card. The downside is obviously an opponent draws a card. But if you have a loop and there's like a mono, I don't know, green deck at the table. Actually, they could have artifact removal. Artifact removal would be better than creature removal because you want to protect Teshar. But you could just, you know, feed all of your draws into someone else. Or if you had Flash, you would be able to, you know, get a loop going with this. Bringing it back, and you could just mill people out and kill them at instant speed before they can respond, which would be cool.
So silly.
And let me see. Land Tax, Ancient Tomb. Yeah. And so, but there's a lot of options, I think, on the EDH rec, because that's where I spent a lot of time.
Searching?
Oh, yeah. And like looking at loops. Oh, a great video, which I don't know if y'all want to link in the description, is Tomer's MTG Goldfish Budget Commander. He did a video over Teshar, and he built it for less than $100, I think, and it's definitely good. Yeah. So there's a lot of different things you can use. I put Mindstone in the deck, yeah.
Yeah.
Burnished Heart is a good pick if you want to ramp. Joyrose Familiar, I initially had in the deck, is a 4 mana artifact creature bird with flying that makes your historic spells cost 1 less, and it's a 2/2. Only problem is it's 4 mana, which is why I cut it. It's still a great card for cutting down the cost of things, but it is 4 mana, so you can't, you know, bring it up. Scrapyard Recombiner is a 3 mana artifact creature construct with modular 2, and you can sacrifice an artifact, tap and sacrifice an artifact, search your library for a construct card, put it in your hand. You can use this to find Walking Ballista, but if you're running, you know, Recruiter of the Guard or Ranger Captain of Eos, not really super necessary. There's a lot of different ways to search for our man, our boy, our robot. But I'm really- like
I'm really excited about this deck. It was really cool to watch you play it. I'm really going to try to build a $50 budget of this deck with commons and uncommons. I think I can do it and it'd still be pretty successful.
I think it could definitely, you might want to shift away from combo and just do like Teshar value, because there's so many like 3-cent to 10-cent uncommons and commons that have pretty cool enter the battlefield or pretty cool leave the battlefield effects that you can just loop with Teshar really easily, and then just throw in like Ornithopter, which is cheap, and Tormod's Crypt and whatnot.
Yeah, there's a lot of really awesome cards, and that's something we talked about too on stream, is that like what I think is super interesting and why I was excited to like bring you on the show and talk to you about this deck is like there are so many super unique and interesting artifact cards, because that's typically how you want to build this, because it's the easiest way to do it. I think there are just so many cool artifact cards that you can just use and it'd be interchangeable. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then just throw on like Eldrazi for the meme.
So I think it's gonna do it for us on this deck tech. Do you have any kind of closing thoughts or anything you want to share, Bento, before we do our wrap up?
If you want a really fun deck, play Paco. I love Paco.
Paco.
I love Paco. I will. If you said you're putting the Moxfield link.
We'll link to your socials as well, but for anyone who's listening, where can they find you at?
You can follow me on Moxfield. I have a bunch of cool, some of my cool decks on there, some that need work but some are pretty fun. You can find me on Twitter at BentoBoxProxies, and you can find me on Patreon at the same name, BentoBoxProxies, and support me there. I don't talk nearly as much about deck building on Twitter because I don't know how good I am at it, but I do love making decks, and I love talking about cool things in Magic and math and all sorts of weird things.
That you threw math in there.
I'm a big math fan. I do love math. I'm a math major, which is
okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, math and computers and all that. That's why I love Magic, right? It's because it's all that dorky stuff. But yeah, that's where you can find me for now. I really should make an Instagram. People keep telling me to, because it's where I have to post pictures of stuff, but
I personally think it's the best site for engagement in general.
Yeah, it probably is, but also I'm scared of the Zuck. It's the line use every time I talk about it.
Brian, let everyone know where they could find our stuff here.
Sounds good. So you can find our podcast on our website, intothe99.com, as well as all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as on our website. You can find amazing articles written by other members of our community, going over a huge range. So we have some articles on MTG Go or MTG Online. As well as we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Into the 99 or Into the 99 Podcast, as well as please find us on Patreon if you like to, if you like our show and the content that we put out, you would like to help support, Patreon, Into the 99, check out our tiers. I believe I hit everything.
Yep. Thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Bye, guys.